Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor and Church, for allowing me to be here with you today to share what God is doing in this ministry called the Giddings International. It's been a great weekend, an exciting time already. When I accepted this invitation last year to come speak on behalf of the Giddings, I didn't realize when I accepted that yesterday was the 7th anniversary of my father, Charlie Robinson, passing away. And so Kim and I had a great day. We came down, ate at Sprayberry's, and had a good time with that, took some flowers by the graveside. It was an exciting day. And now we're here at First Baptist with you. So it's been a great weekend for us. Thank you for your warm hospitality, allowing us to be here. I have a lot of history here. I was telling Brother Jimmy earlier that my father and mother got married in the old sanctuary. My sister and brother-in-law got married here in this sanctuary. And Kim and I got married in the old sanctuary. So about our whole family's been married here, it seems like. So it's exciting to be here with you this morning. Today we're going from 1872 to the year 2018. So hang on with me, okay? The commonly used phrase in the early 40s and 50s during a church service given by the Giddings International was this message right here. This ministry was founded based on a promise a young man made to his mother. You see, in 1872, John H. Nicholson of Janesville, Wisconsin, was 13 years old. He was later led to the Lord by his parents 6 years later. They had a very strong Christian family relationship, especially with his mother. On her deathbed, John's mother asked one request of him, and that was for him to read his Bible every single day. John kept that promise to his mother. Now let's go forward 20 years to September 14th, 1898. As a traveling salesman, John Nicholson arrived in Bosco Bell, Wisconsin, at the Central Hotel to stay the evening. It was late, around 9 p.m., when he entered the lobby. The clerk was very familiar with Mr. Nicholson because he had stayed there numerous times. There was only one bed left in the hotel, she informed him, and that was in a room with a man sitting across the lobby, Mr. Hill, in room 19. And the hotel attendant said, "You could ask Mr. Hill if he would share that room and split that with you. That's the only bed we have left." So he looked around at Mr. Hill, and he saw that he was a nice-dressed, clean-looking man, and that was unusual for this hotel. The very few in the area, a drunk man laid on the floor, appearing to be passed out. Two poker games were going on in progress, and there was smoke all around in the air, and loud noises could be heard coming from the bar area down the hall. So Mr. Nicholson approached cautiously to Mr. Hill and asked him if he could split the room with him, since there were no other rooms available in the hotel that evening. Mr. Hill said, "Yes, that would be fine. You can go on up to the room, and I'll be there as soon as I finish my paperwork for the day." So shortly after that, Mr. Nicholson went up to finish his paperwork for the day as well, and Mr. Hill came in and quickly got ready for bed and went to sleep, it appeared. When Mr. Nicholson finished his work for the day, he did as he always did every evening. He pulled out his Bible and began to read. Mr. Hill sat straight up in the bed, excited, with a look on his face, and said, "Come, read it to me. I'm a Christian as well." So he read to Mr. Hill from John 15, 1 through 16. And the latter part of this particular passage is what was particular meaningful to them that night. It says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." The two men tried to rest and go to sleep after their conversation and the reading of the Bible that night, but they were just too excited. They couldn't sleep. And so they really began searching for a way that God could use them as Christian businessmen. Now, you see, this seed was actually planted a year earlier. Mr. Nicholson had been in this same hotel and shared a room with a Mr. William J. Knight, who also was a Christian. There's no record of their conversation there in that hotel, but it's believed that they shared Christian fellowship as well. So Mr. Nicholson and Mr. Hill would meet again about a year later on a street in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. They both recalled that night and they had met and the fellowship they had and how sweet the fellowship was. And it was agreed on that day, May 31st, 1899, that they would call a meeting and invite other traveling salesmen they knew. July 1st, 1899, at the YMCA in Janesville, Wisconsin, Mr. Hill, Mr. Nicholson, and Mr. Knight were going to hold a meeting. Their excitement of the meeting grew and grew up until the day of the event, and they were hoping that some of the men that they had invited would attend. To their disappointment, no one came but the three of them. They called the meeting to order and decided to organize and have two specific purposes: to have Christian fellowship and to personally witness to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. An election was held. Mr. Hill was elected president, Mr. Knight was elected vice president, and Mr. Nicholson was elected secretary and treasurer. The first order of business was to decide on what the organization would be called. The new officers thought that the Christian Traveling Men of the United States of America would be just too long of a name to keep up with. So they prayed and they asked God to guide them in this first order of business. On their knees, all of a sudden, Mr. Knight rose up with excitement and he suddenly said, "Gideon, we will call ourselves Gideons." "Why?" the other two men asked. Mr. Knight proceeded to quote the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7. The story tells of how God told Gideon he had too many men to fight. God sifted them down to a few valiant men to fight for him. I myself have often wondered about this name, Gideons, and then one day I realized today we never have enough men, it seems like, to do what we want to do, but God keeps doing a great work year after year. And I thought about this many times, and I think it may be if we had too many members, we might start taking the credit for some of the work God is doing instead of trusting him and giving him the glory. So the three men agreed that Gideon was a man that did exactly what God wanted him to do, so they adopted this name. Later in 1908, at the Iowa State Convention, two Gideons attended and had the opportunity to speak at the ministerial union there to a group of pastors. Upon hearing the way that God was using these businessmen, Dr. E.R. Burkhalter of the First Presbyterian Church stood up and made a motion that the ministerial union be responsible for raising the funds needed to buy the Bibles to place in the hotels. The Gideons had really only planned to place a Bible in the lobby of each hotel, but Dr. Burkhalter said that was not good enough and that the church would raise enough funds to place a Bible in every room. Thus, the partnership of the Gideons and the local church began and still continues today. It took the Gideons International until the year 2001, 93 years later, to distribute the first billionth copy of God's Word. A special day there, a commemorative copy was presented to George W. Bush Jr. at the White House on guess what day? September 10th, 2001. And we all remember what happened on September 11th of that year, the next day. Interesting, the second billion scripture milestone was achieved in less than 14 years. Do you see something happening here? I believe Jesus is returning soon. Projections are it may take less than 7 years to reach the 3 billion scriptures distributed. God always has a way to reach people. Take, for example, some of the school systems across our state are getting harder and harder to get in and give out Bibles to. So we have this little book right here called The Life Book. We would encourage your youth pastor to go online, lifebook.com, and order these. We provide these to the church for free. Nowhere will it say Gideon's anywhere on here, but we provide this for your youth to use as an evangelistic tool. And so we'd encourage you, go on lifebook.com, order as many as you want, share them with your youth. They can take them to school and share them peer-to-peer. This is the Gospel of John. We also have the Gospel of Mark. And it's a peer-to-peer conversation with young people talking about the gospel and asking questions. It's a great tool. Since 2010, since we started that, over 18 million of those have been distributed in the United States alone. Another neat thing God is doing in this ministry is called the Friends of the Gideons. Any one of you in here today can become a friend of the Gideon. You can fill out this brochure and have the opportunity to see events, testimonies from around the world, things that God is doing all over, and you can continue to pray for us. You can also join through the Friends of the Gideons and become a financial partner monthly if you desire to. And you'll also then be invited to our annual pastor appreciation events that go on in each county every year to appreciate our pastors. You can even go online and order this same Bible here that we distribute, these little New Testaments. It just won't have the Gideon emblem on there, but it's the same exact Bible. You know what I'm still most excited, though, to tell you about in this ministry? Is 100% of everything you give still goes to the purchase and placement of Scripture. We have no overhead because we pay our own way every single place we go. You know, in 1908, 25 Bibles were placed in a hotel in Iron Mountain, Montana. In 1968, 60 years later, the Gideons were placing God's Word in 77 nations, distributing over 9 million Bibles a year. During the early years, there were many changes taking place. Membership now, all of a sudden, had to be recommended by the local pastor, and that's still the case today. John Nicholson lived to be 87 years old. He died in 1946. Samuel Hill died at 69 in the year of 1936. And William Knight died at the age of 87 in 1940. Again, many changes have happened in this ministry alone during those years. But one thing remains the same. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he's still doing that today. Fast forward to 1995. I came to the Christmas Eve service here in 1995 at this church. I hadn't been to church in 14 years probably. I came really to make my mother and my wife happy. I didn't really remember anything special about that Christmas Eve service, but I went home to get something out of my nightstand drawer, and right there in my nightstand drawer was this little green Gideon New Testament. It was brand new. Been in the drawer for years, never been touched. That night, God spoke to my heart. He said, Alan, you know, you could put my word in your pocket and just read it everywhere you go. Well, the next day, I did just that. And over the next few months, I read it over and over and over and over again. And then one Sunday morning, I came to church in the spring of 1996, and it happened. As soon as I sat down in this church, God began to speak to me. And he said, Alan, I want you to come down on this altar and repent. And I want you to know, I thought of every excuse in the world why I couldn't come down here. But God just kept speaking during the whole service. When the invitation was given, I started walking and I fell on my knees right here on this altar. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I made it. I'm here. And he spoke to my heart and said, I know you did, Alan, and I've set you free. I want you to know I walked over and took Dr. Tyre, the pastor at the time, by the hand. I made sure of my salvation. When I left the church that day, my life was changed forever. Praise God. Now, let's go to 2001. I received a call from a friend of mine named Brother Jim Berry. He was inviting me to Wesley Woods to get an international membership dinner. I went, felt God calling me, and joined the Gideon ministry. And the rest, they say, is history. The Gideons are now in 201 countries, possessions, and territories, and printing God's word in over 100 different languages. And let me tell you, church, there's a world out there that's hungering for the word of God. I had the privilege of traveling to Mozambique, Africa a few years ago to work with the local Gideons there on a Bible blitz, as we call it. We went from school to school all week long in other places. But what stuck with me the most was the teachers at these schools. They would tell me over and over, Alan, we're so excited you're here. So now we have a book to teach the children out of. I heard that almost everywhere we went. Think of the impact God is going to have in the Mozambique, Africa area when those children grow up after being taught the Word of God every day in school. Think about that. I'm excited about that. We distributed 109,365 Bibles in the Mozambique area. Praise God for that. But you know what? That wasn't just me there. If you've ever prayed for or given to this ministry, you were a part of that too. See, I also had the privilege of traveling to Malaysia to work with local Gideons there for a week-long Bible blitz a couple of years ago. I want to ask you a question. Can God make a 200-plus pound man invisible? Well, I'm going to answer that for you, okay? Malaysia is a Muslim-ran government. It's illegal to evangelize a Muslim in that country. But there's also a large population of Chinese in Malaysia. So the first day, we're getting ready to go out on distributions, and the locals, we go through all of our instructions and everything, and they looked at me, and they said, Alan, just blend in. Well, I didn't blend in too good in Malaysia, to be honest with you. But to help me to blend in, they gave me this large Bible to carry the New Testaments in, and it was bright green and yellow flowers all over it. So that's what they gave me to blend in with. As soon as we got out on the sidewalk, I noticed something else really quick. Right here next to this school was a very large police station. And so I looked again, and right below that, about from here to the end of the wall there, was a security guard building with a security guard for the school in there. So I said, "Lord, you got to do something quick." So Aaron, the local Gideon that was with me, I could tell he was getting a little nervous as well, and he looked at me and he said, "Alan, you know, you're light-skinned from America. I'm dark-skinned from India." He said, "Do you really believe anyone's going to think we're here to pick up a Chinese kid?" And I said, "Well, probably not, but we just kept praying, "Lord, just hurry up and ring the bell." And so finally it happened. Now, here's the cool part. These students came at us like a flood. We were giving out Bibles as fast as we could, and guess what I noticed? Not one time did that security guard ever even make eye contact with me. Not one time did any parent coming up to the gate even look at me, notice me, make eye contact with me. And remember, I was not blending in very well there. But it was like almost God made me invisible to everyone except those children receiving the Word of God. I want you to know God did that for me all week. Everywhere I went, they kept giving me all these instructions about be careful with this. Don't be seen here. Don't be doing this. If it does, leave. All these instructions, because I had cameras everywhere watching everything you're doing. And I was standing in the middle of students and universities everywhere, right in the middle of them, giving out Bibles as fast as I could. And not one time did anyone ever even say anything to me. It's like God made me invisible. Praise God, over 34,000 Bibles were distributed that week in a Muslim-ran country. Praise God for that. You see, in this ministry, we're not preachers or evangelists. We're just ordinary business and professional men. But we believe in the power of God's Word. And this scripture is what we hang our hat on, so to speak, in this ministry. You've heard it many times, but it's Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's the power of God's word. I was sitting across from a man a couple of weeks ago at a banquet in Dahlonega, Georgia. He shared how he grew up in Marietta, and by the age of 19, he was already facing prison time for drugs and for theft. He said that was the only lifestyle he ever knew. His older brothers were pushing drugs on him as early as 10 years old. He lived a life in and out of prison, he said. He was the worst of the worst. That was his own words. He eventually got shot one night in Marietta, and he said, "After surviving a bullet in the chest, you would think that would change a man." He said, but it didn't. He said, "It just made me madder and meaner." He said he eventually stabbed a man 7 times, and he was fixing to be sentenced, according to the judge, to 20 years in prison. And he said one day as he was sitting in that cell waiting on his sentencing to begin, he looked down and saw a couple of men in suits, and he thought, "Great, the preacher's here. I need to talk to him." For you see, he felt like one day that God was speaking to him. He just didn't know what to do. So he found out that they were actually Gideons, and they came to his cell and offered him a New Testament similar to this here and prayed with him. And they would be there for him, they told him. He took it, read it over and over again. And then one day, the guard came to his cell and said, "Donald, get your stuff." He said, "For what?" He said, "You're going out of here." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The judge has signed your release papers. And he said he thought, "No, you're mistaken." He said, "I'm not going anywhere. He told me I was going to get 20 years. And the guard said, "Get your stuff, Donald. You're leaving." And he said, "No, I'm not going anywhere." He said, "I'm not leaving." He said, "There's a mistake." And the guard reassured him. He said, "No, I've got it right here. The judge has signed your release. You're free to go." He left prison that day, shocked and a little bit afraid. And the first thing he did was seek out a local church to find out, was God really speaking to him? He wound up at the Towns Creek Baptist Church. That's where he gave his heart to Jesus. Now Donald is now teaching a Sunday school class in that church, He's the chaplain for the local jail in his community, and he ministers to both jail and police officers. And he told me, he said, "You know what, Alan?" He said, "I used to run from the police." And he said, "Now I run to the police." And I thought, praise God, that's the power of his word. That's the power of God's word. You know, this is not a message about how good the Gideons are or Alan Robinson or anything like that. This is a message about the amazing work God is doing in and through this ministry called the Gideons International. You'll never see us advertise on TV, magazines, newspapers, or anything. You might say, why such great testimonies? Well, so I can still honestly stand here and tell you that after over 100 years of this ministry's existence, 100% of everything you give goes to the purchase and placement of Scripture. Our wives can even be a part of this ministry. They pray, they witness, they distribute God's word in doctor's office, dentist office, our medical facilities and personnel, crisis pregnancy centers, and more. You might ask, Alan, how can we help? How can we help the Gideon ministry? Many of you are very familiar with the Gideon ministry. Well, I would ask that you pray for us, first of all. I would ask that you put the Gideons International on whatever prayer list you have that prompts you to pray, and never take us off till the Lord Jesus returns. We need your prayers. I ask you for that today. You can also have the opportunity to join us financially with a gift today to send a Bible somewhere around the world. You might ask today, Alan, where will the Bibles go if I give today? Well, I'm going to answer that for you in just a minute. We also have cards, Gideon card displays. You've seen these many times out here where you can share and donate a Bible in memory or in recognition of someone. You know, this Bible right here has the potential of reaching 2,300 people in a hotel during its lifespan. 2,300 people, if you think about it. Say you donated 5 Bibles in memory of a loved one or family member. You'd have the opportunity to reach 11,500 people with the gospel. What a blessing you could be to someone. When my dad passed away, there were 72 Bibles donated in memory of him. Those Bibles will have the potential of reaching 165,600 people. How long would it have taken Charlie Robinson to witness to 165,000 people? Do you see the impact you can have? We're placing Bibles in hotels, hospitals, colleges, our military, prisons, schools that allow us. If not, we go to the county fairs and reach students there. Our nursing homes right here and all over the world. I also had the privilege of traveling to Poland last October to work with the local Gideons there for a week of Bible distributions. The local Gideons had sent out letters to all the places of distributions all over Warsaw, Poland, one to the military base there. They had not received anything from the military base as a comment or any kind of approval or anything, and so on the next to the last day we were there, we finally got a call from a guy at the military base. And he reached out to the local Gideon. He said, "Hey, you can come, but you got to come tomorrow, and you've got to come early." And so we did. We took off the next morning before daylight, headed to the military base. Now, you got to picture this, okay? I believe God has a sense of humor. You've got 4 small European cars with 5 Gideons each packed in there, and the trunks completely loaded with cases of Bibles. It looked like the Gideon Mafia going down the road. The car I was in seemed to bottom out every time we hit a bump in the road. But we arrived at the gate, and the man was there to greet us at the gate. And we told him we had 3 other cars behind us, and so he motioned to the guy, and the guy opened the big gate, and we just drove right in. They didn't even search the cars or anything. We got out of the first parking lot, and he was there with us, and he told us, he said, "Place a team here, place a team there. The soldiers will be coming from this part of the facility over here." This was actually a training area of this military base that we were at, so he was allowing us to set up to reach the most soldiers that we could. And so he said, "I need 2 of y'all to come with me." So myself and another Gideon went with him, and he said, "We're going over to another building." So we went over to this large building, and he said, "You can set up the Bibles right here at the bottom of the steps, and you can distribute to people when they come in and out of the building." So we said, okay. So I started unloading the cases of the Bibles and setting them out there. Now, you got to remember, this is Poland, and the weather is never nice, I don't think. It was windy, rainy, cold every day we were there, and so I'm setting the Bibles out in boxes, and this man comes out of the building, introduces himself as Major something, sorry, can't speak Polish, and he introduced himself, and the man that was with us that worked there on the base told him who we were, Gideon's International, wanted to give all the soldiers a free Bible. So he looked at me, and then he looked down at the Bibles, and he said, "The weather is bad." He said, "Come inside." So we said, okay. So we picked up the cases of Bible and started following him up the stairs. Now get this picture, okay? He's a major. We just go right in. He does something over here, the security. We got cameras everywhere, stainless steel bars, and we're just following him right on in the door with cases of Bibles. And he even looks at me. He says, "You can set your Bibles up over here on this table right here and just distribute to anyone coming in and out of this lobby." And we said, okay. I mean, a woman even came from behind the counter over there and took my coat. Now think about this. They don't even know who I am. No one has checked my passport. Nothing. They have no idea who I am, and I'm standing there inside this military base. And so I'm thinking to myself, no one has checked me, and I sure can't speak Polish with this accent. So the other local Gideon and I, we're standing there distributing Bibles as people come in and out. And then he threw me a curve. He said, "Alan, you're okay right here. I'm going to go check on the other teams and see how they're doing." I'm thinking, I can't speak a lick of Polish, and you're just going to leave me in here? And so, but I kept giving out Bibles. People would come by, and I would just say, "Present for you." That's what they told me to say in English. So I'd say, "Present for you." And almost everyone took a Bible. Now, here's the amazing part, though. I began to realize after a little bit that everyone coming out in and out of this lobby had 2, 3, and 4 stars, highly decorated uniforms. And so after about 2 hours, they came back to get me, and this is what I found out. This was an officer training building, and only the higher-ranking officers were in this building. I almost just laughed inside because I thought, "God, you know, I'm just a country boy from Georgia, but you placed me in this facility to distribute your word to the ranking officers of the Polish military." And I thought, "This is crazy, Lord. How do you do this?" But only God can do things like that. Almost 40,000 Bibles distributed that week in Warsaw, Poland. Over 87 million copies of God's Word distributed last year all over the world. Church, we need you. Will you join myself and almost 300,000 Gideons and auxiliary all over the world as we seek to see God save the lost? To answer the question I posed to you earlier about where do the Bibles go when you give, the answer, anywhere God chooses. Because you see, nothing can stop God, not even a Polish military. For you see, I'm not just a member of the Gideons International, but I'm also a life that was changed because someone like you and your congregations gave that I might receive this very copy of God's Word. So today, I gladly say thank you and God bless you.